Blog Talk Radio.
They call me Space Age, not just because I cut down, I bust down brick walls, crumble to dust beneath my sneakers. Y'all don't understand my train of thought. Take you past the fault lines and landmines. Be careful how you step. I'm not accustomed to the silence I am hearing, cause my mind roars chaotic with emotions I am feeling well. They say I'm too bright brain because I cry a lot. Would you do the same if you saw your people die a lot? Rotten, adopted skins, ill-fitted to their frames. Grown men, their choices, so they frolic and deframe their games. I used to find plastic dime bags and crack in the back of the toilet where I sat when I wanted to be alone. I tried to phone home, but they said the line was busy. I had to make amends with the dilapidated city. A pretty brown girl in the ring with no gloves. I hardened up my armor, too afraid to show love. My vocals stay backed up like reverse mode. Stage frightened, so I kept my drama in rehearse mode. But I ain't had no understudy, only I could play my role straight without the taste to make it easier to swallow. Forced to take the lead because I knew not how to follow. I'd rather die on my 2 feet than kneel, that's the motto. Said every evening before I close my eyes and travel. Cross the ocean to the land of sleep and sorrow. We out the valley like memorials with the pyramids. I'm hovering between the devils and the city kids. I take them from the hood and up into the stratosphere. Before the lights go out, my voice will be the last you hear. We out the valley like memorials with the pyramids. I'm hovering between the devils and the city kids. I take them from the hood and up into the stratosphere. Before the lights go out, my voice will be the last you hear.
Let me clear my throat so I can get it out. Spit it out, make you understand what I am really about. I was a product of the trap like the rest. Had to study extra hard so I can ace it when they test me. I'm headed to the shrine so I will soon can bless me. Shaking off the sins that tried their best to come arrest me. They blow on smoke and floss and mirrors make illusions realer to the weak and scary, so very unnecessary. My music extends your life unlike that old strong back. They hear me rhyme and ask me, yo, where did they put you on at? I came here off a fallen star 1,000 years ago. They told me it don't matter who you are but what you know. So I went unnamed for about a century at most. Landed in the Sahel but caught a ride just off the coast. I know you think I'm telling tall tales like John Henry, but just preserve the story on the banks of your memory.
We out the valley like memorials to them pyramids. I'm hovering between the devils and the city kids. I take them from the hood and up into the stratosphere. Before the lights go out, my voice will be the last you hear. We out the valley like memorials to them pyramids. I'm hovering between the devils and the city kids. I take them from the hood and up into the stratosphere. Before the lights go out, my voice will be the last you hear.
It gets so cold between the stars with no sun to light you up, but the darkness make it harder for the devil to sight you up. I thought I'd find my AI like on solid ground, but their speakers wasn't big enough to hang with my surround sound. They tried to play me, say they can't get down with space rock, but now they from another planet cause they heard me say that. That's cool, you biting better, you your freaking canines. You trying to battle with you, ill-equipped to my advanced mind. This shit was written long before your misconception, so I guess that's why you can't conceive the best when you approach it. Don't just say my name, invoke it, burn the cigar, let me smoke it. Pour the water, let it fall onto the earth and watch it soak it. Let's try to focus on what's really real and not to fake them. I learned the facts of life from Sluddy and Mustafa Shechem. He told me never ever turn your light down, because somebody wants to see you quit and put your mic down. Your biggest enemy is secretly your biggest fan in heart, but they can't be you, and so they scheme and wait for you to fall. Okay, I get it now. Hold up while I grab my onyx ring. Throw all my green checks and take my place inside the iron ring. Out. Out.
Thank you.
things my family did. I am not the voices in my head. I am not the pieces of the brokenness inside. I am light. 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 I'm not the mistakes that I have made, or any of the things that cause me pain. I am not the pieces of the dream I left behind.
Rising's family, how are you? This is your hostess, Sister L, September 7th, Sweet 16. It's a great day for the righteous, terrible day for the unrighteous. A lot is being revealed. A lot of activities are going on. But this is where you come to receive your balance. You know, this is the middle of the week, and this is the time where we have to reflect on what has happened and what is happening forthcoming. So I want you to know that I missed you all last week. I had some business to take care of. And as you can see, I have shortened this show. You know why? It's on from 11 to 1, but I did it because this is a very serious time. And it's time for action. It's time to get some things done. It's time to focus on food, clothing, and shelter. It is time to really, really support our brother man and our sister woman. This is a time like none other. You know, we've always had situations to come up in life. But in this time, in the last days, we've got a lot going on. I want to apologize if it's some extra noise in the background. I was not able to make it to the office this rising, but I definitely wanted to be here with you today. That's why it's a little delayed. And guess what, family? I'm not concerned about the delay. I want to apologize to you for the delay, but Sister L knows why there was a delay. We're in Mercury retrograde. Mercury retrograde started on the 30th of August, and it ends on the 21st of September. So when things just don't go right, you know, when things are not moving at the pace that they're supposed to or that you think they should, recognize that there are forces right now going on because there is a retrograde. And what that means is that do not be amazed by situations that are moving slower than you think. Also, this is not the time to start new projects. This is the time to hone in on the projects that you are already working on. It's a time to reflect. It's a time to be in deeper meditation. It's the time to really, really look at the sky, okay, and see what's going on. It's a great time to fast as well. Even if you do a 24-hour fast, it's a time to reflect, and it's a time to really pay attention to what is going on. So share that with your loved one. Now, I'm going to have a guest come on later on in the episode. He just traveled to Akibalon, which some people know as Africa. That's the name it was before it was Hellenized. So our dear brother Rael, who is a teacher here, he will be introduced a little bit later on in this episode. And we're going to be talking about his experience in Akibalon. He just returned on Friday, okay? So what I want to do right now is focus on the Holy Quran, because these are our divine instructions. These are the instructions that Noble Drew Ali prepared for us. These are instructions that if people were to really take heed, we would definitely have a better world, because it was prophesied that if we did not take heed to that, if we did not, that we would have a lot of turmoil. So since people have not taken heed to the divine instructions, it's a lot of turmoil going on, okay? And that's for everybody that's on the face of this earth. So right now, we're in chapter 21, and it is the marriage instructions for man and wife from the Noble Prophet. And last week, we discussed the holy instructions and warning for all men. So this week, we're going to focus on 21. We're going to focus on the marriage instructions for man and wife from the Noble Prophet. Give ear, fair daughter of love, to the instructions of prudence, and let the precepts of truth sink deep in your heart. So shall the charms of thy mind add lustre to the elegance of thy form, and thy beauty, like the rose it resembleth, shall retain its sweetness when its bloom is withered. In the spring of thy youth, in the morning of thy days, when the eyes of men gaze on thee with delight, and nature whispereth in thine ear the meaning of their looks, ah, hear with caution their seducing words. Guard well thy heart, nor listen to their soft persuasions. Did you all hear that? So that means you as mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, auntie, uncle, by the time these young daughters enter puberty, you need to be giving them these divine instructions, because we know that everything that you hear in your ear is not good. Remember, thou art made man's reasonable companion, not the slave of his passion. The end of thy being is not merely to gratify his loose desire, but to assist him in the toils of life, to soothe his heart with thy tenderness and recompense his care with soft endearments. Who is she that winneth the heart of man, that subdueth him to love and reigneth in his breast? Lo, yonder she walketh in maiden sweetness, with innocence in her mind and modesty on her cheek. Her hand seeketh employment. Her foot delighteth not in gadding abroad. She is clothed with neatness. She is fed with temperance. Humility and meekness are as a crown of glory circling her head. Now let's look at this. Let's think about this. She is clothed with neatness. You know, they had a lot of activities going on in Atlanta, this Strong In family. You had this Dragon Con Festival. You had House in the Park. You had Gay Pride. I mean, you had, it was about a 500,000 people that converged upon Atlanta, this Strong In, and I was out every single day doing what I do. But I want to tell you, I saw a lot of things that really were not good. A lot of the women were scantily dressed with holes all over their clothes. And that's when I said, this is a prime example of the gross darkness that is upon the people. Because remember, the world is in darkness, but the people are in gross darkness. So, sisters are supposed to be clothed with neatness. On her tongue dwelleth music. The sweetness of honey floweth from her lips. Decency is in all her words. In her answers are mildness of and truth. Decency in all her words, family. We have sisters out here now cursing like sailors. No decency in their mouths. Submission and obedience are the lessons of her life, and peace and happiness are her reward. Before her steps walketh prudence, and virtue attendeth at her right hand. Her eyes speak of softness and love, but discretion with a scepter sitteth on her brow. The tongue of the licentious is dumb in her presence. The awe of her virtue keepeth him silent. Okay? So when a man sees a woman that has virtue, he's not just going to say anything 9 times out of 10 if he's in his right mind. When scandal is busy and the fame of her neighbors is tossed from tongue to tongue, if charity and good nature open not her mouth, the finger of silence resteth on her lip. Her breast is the mansion of goodness, and therefore she suspected no evil of others. Happy were the man that should make her his wife. Happy the child that should call her mother. You know, I was watching this show called Fatal Attraction. Well, it was actually on YouTube, and it was a story about this young sister that met an older man. She was 16. The man was 29 in the boroughs of New York, okay? And because she was underage, they just would see each other in passing. But when this young lady became 18, they went on a date, okay? So she started dating him, and then her parents wanted to meet him. He wanted her to come move in with him and his young daughter, okay? Her parents consented. Her mother and father consented to this. Lo and behold, 6 months into the relationship, this man started torturing her, beating her. Long to the short, this man almost beat this woman to death, okay? This is her first real experience with a man, and she almost lost her life. And now the good thing is that he's serving, I think, 25 or 30 years in prison. But this girl is forever scarred on her body, and hopefully she won't be forever scarred on her mind, okay? But the thing is, family, her mother and father consented to her going to live with a man who was a lot older than her when she was only 18. This is not what we do. We have to stop following the gods of wood and stone and following barbaric behaviors. It'll save a lot of life a lot of pain, and a lot of misery. So, happy were the man that should make her his wife, happy the child that should call her mother. She presideth in the house, and there is peace. She commandeth with judgment and is obeyed. She ariseth in the morning, she considers her affairs, and appointeth to everyone their proper business. The care of her family is her whole delight. To that alone she applieth her study. And elegance with frugality is seen in her mansion. The prudence of her management is an honor to her husband. He heareth her praise with a secret delight. She informeth the minds of her children with wisdom. She fashioneth their manners from the examples of her own goodness. The words of her mouth is the law of their youth. The motion of her eye commandeth their obedience. How powerful is that? When this woman is in order, she can just use her eye to command obedience from her children. She speaketh and the servants fly. She pointeth, the thing is done. For the law of love is in their hearts, and her kindness addeth wings to their feet. In prosperity she is not puffed up. In adversity she healeth the wounds of fortune with patience. The troubles of her husband are alleviated by her counsels and sweetened by her endearments. She putteth his heart in her bosom and receiveth comfort. Happy is the man that has made her his wife. Happy the child that call her mother. Isn't this awesome? Is this not awesome, family? This man is happy and the children are happy because this sister is in order. And this is what we got to get back to. Because we know that everything occurred in this country and even all over the world to take the man out of the family with the so-called welfare system and food stamps. Anything and every trick was done to take the man out of the family. Now the man and the woman both have to be part of the family. The divorce rate is higher than high. Now we know that we should have never been going to the colonizers' state system to be married in the first place. All we had to do was put it in the Bible and proclaim our love to one another. So now that we are wiser and stronger, and we have our heads on, we do things appropriately. So ponder on that and download this. Download the divine instructions of the Holy Quran. Go online and order it. Amazon probably has it. I'm sure they do. Okay, so be mindful that there are divine instructions to guide you, your wife, your husband, your children in life. And let's stop doing everything willy-nilly vanilly. Let's just stop it. Now, I mentioned earlier that we were in Mercury retrograde, okay? And also, the Hebrew High Holy Days are coming up. They start October 2nd. Now, we're going into a season of atonement, okay? Atonement and repentance. This is where you forgive yourself. This is where you forgive others, like your loved ones. If you're living in a house with someone and you feel that you didn't do something right or they didn't do something right, this is the season that you're supposed to get that straight and release the leavening from your heart and your mind. It makes no sense not to atone. And, you know, I studied with the Hebrew culture for about 10 years, and one thing that I loved about Yom Kippur, which is the highest holy day of the year, we fully atoned and repented, okay, during the whole High Holy season. But on the day of Yom Kippur, we did a dry fast. That means no food and no water, nothing. You are there to focus on you, the Most High, your family, forgiving yourself, and moving forward into the next season. Also, we're moving into what they call the fall season, okay? This is the time, family, that we cleanse. We cleanse our minds. We don't listen to secular music. We don't see these violent things, movies at the theaters and on television. Okay? We're not supposed to be indulging in secular things. So we want to be mindful. Next week I'm going to be coming with some more information about why this season is important and some of the things we can do to prepare our minds and our bodies. Now, with that being said, Sister Anahota Makota posted something on social media, and I thought it was timely and it was very important. I'm going to see if I can find it. It is dealing with flu shots. Now, there are a lot of advertisements out for people to get their flu vaccine, especially with elderly people. And I want to just spend some time on the flu vaccine. And this article is excellent. It's like music to my ears, but it says 11 reasons why flu shots are more dangerous than the flu itself. This is from Real Pharmacy, F-A-R-M, not P-H, realpharmacy.com. And I don't see the author of this article, but you can pull it up. 11 reasons why flu shots are more dangerous than the flu itself. I've never taken the flu shot. Even when I was younger and the doctors would tell me that I need to come and take it, something in my spirit said, don't do it. And I'm so glad that I didn't. So, the flu shot, number one, actually makes you sick to begin with. Have you ever noticed how vaccinated children get sick almost immediately following a vaccination? Now, when I was in gross darkness and I took my daughter for vaccinations many, many, many years ago, she always got a fever and she was a little sick for about 24 hours. This is because the flu virus is introduced into their bodies. So rather than immunize, the flu shot actually only sensitizes the body against the virus. Okay? That's numero uno. Number two, flu vaccines contain other dangerous ingredients such as mercury. So when you're getting that flu shot, you're getting mercury shot into your body. Okay? So medical experts and the mainstream media are candid in telling us that flu vaccines contain strains of the flu virus. Okay? What they are really less likely to expose is that there is a long list of ingredients in the flu vaccine. Okay? Heavy metal is known to be very, 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 very dangerous. You can get your body tested for metals. It's very dangerous for the human body. Mercury toxicity causes depression, memory loss, Alzheimer's, cardiovascular disease, respiratory problems, ADD, oral health problems, and digestive imbalances, and many, 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 many more health issues, family. And I mentioned this, number three is the Alzheimer's disease. This is potentially one of the main causes for Alzheimer's. This is why Alzheimer's has increased by tenfold, because this is coming. They're putting these vaccines into people that are elderly and they already have a weaker immune system. Number four, the very people pushing these vaccines are making billions of dollars each year. In 1999 of August, the Committee on Government Reform initiated an investigation into federal vaccine policy. This investigation focused on possible conflicts of interest on the part of the FDA and the CDC. Okay? Now, if you have proclaimed your nationality and you know who you are, do you know that boards are listed with the CDC as a pure and clean nation? You can use that if you're working on a job to get out of taking these vaccines. Also, in my arsenal, I think I have a waiver that you can take to the doctor to sign. And if she or he will sign it, tell them that you will go ahead and take that flu shot, because if they can sign and guarantee your health, then tell them you'll take it. But they're not going to sign it because they know. They're going to read it and they're going to see. If you're a vegan and you're taking the flu shot, well, it has pig urine and all of that in it too. So, number five, lack of real evidence that young children even benefit from flu shots. There were 51 studies involving 260,000 children between the ages of 6 to 23 months, established no evidence that the flu shot is any more effective than a placebo. So for all these mothers and fathers that are running these children to the doctors because of so-called flu season, you have to know that there is evidence out there showing that this is not even effective. Number six, it makes you more susceptible to pneumonia and other contagious diseases. For someone with an already suppressed immune system, injecting strains of the flu virus can have devastating consequences. And it makes you more susceptible to pneumonia. Vascular disorders. Medical research shows flu shots are associated with an increased risk of vascular inflammation. Symptoms include fever, jaw pain, muscle aches, pain and stiffness in the neck, upper body, shoulders, hips, and headaches. Number eight, children under one are at risk. Children under the age of one are highly vulnerable to neurotoxic breach of the delicate nerve centering around the brain and the nervous system. A child under the age of one lacks sufficient protection to guard against premature damage to the blood barrier of the brain. Nine, increased risk of narcolepsy. There have been dozens of reports of cases of children in 12 different countries who have developed narcolepsy, a chronic sleep disorder, after receiving the flu vaccine. 10, weakened immunological responses. There have been literally thousands of medical journal articles published that show injecting vaccines can lead to harmful immunological responses and a host of other infections. 11, and this is the last one, serious neurological disorders. Evidence now suggests that ingredients in the flu vaccine can actually cause serious neurological disorders. In 1976, a significant number of those who received the flu vaccine acquired GBS, which is Guillain-Barré syndrome. And this is a disorder characterized by permanent nerve damage and even paralysis. Flu vaccines can contain many harmful materials, including detergent, mercury, formaldehyde, and strains of the live flu virus. This is not what Sister L is telling you, okay? This is scientific evidence that you can research. You can go and Google this article for yourself from realpharmacy.com. 11 reasons why flu shots are more dangerous than the flu itself. And you have to wonder, who would be pushing this? Who would be advertising for you to get this into your body? The adversary. Every single day, family, that you go out and you wake up, you have a choice between life and death. But the majority of the people are choosing death. But guess what? In many cases, they're choosing a slow death. Everybody that's putting their arm out there and their children's arms out there to get the flu vaccine, there are repercussions. Sister L is not telling you to not do it because I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not licensed through the state. I hold no professional licenses any longer through the state. I purposefully relinquish those licenses. But I'm going to tell you, if you love your family, your friends, and your neighbors, and they tell you that they are going to get a flu shot, you might want to share this information with them. And another thing, family, you may think that this does not affect you because you are not the one getting the flu shot. But I'm here to tell you, you will be receiving a call if you take it, if they take it, saying that they might be sick, they might be in the hospital, and worst case scenario, they have become paralyzed. This affects you. You know why? Because you're going to feel for them because you love them. You know why? You may have to visit the hospital. You know why? You love your people, so this affects you, even though you are not the one taking the flu shot. And many times people will tell you right to your face, oh, you know, Sister L, I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to go on and do it because my mom and them did it. At that time, when they tell you that, you need to shake the dust off your feet. Because if you continue to worry about someone who is walking in gross darkness, that is going to put you into gross darkness. Anyway, I see my guest now. Guest, you're supposed to hit one so I can see you. But this brother has been a friend of mine for many years, Brother Ra. I call him Brother Ra. He is an L. And he teaches more science. He's a great teacher. He's very humble. You know, I think he should definitely be out there more teaching people. And he's not only humble, he's a family man. He's a father. And very conscientious about his health. He recently traveled to Aswegalan, which many of you all know as Africa. And I asked him to come on and share his experience with us, okay? Since we were not able to go there with him, we actually were there with him in spirit. And he said right away, yes, Sister L, I will do it. And before I introduce him, I want to ask him before I open his mic, I want him to talk a little bit about this wellness too. Because he shared some great information with me. He's given me CDs, and they have been very helpful. So without further ado, I want to introduce Brother Ra to the Prosperity Wednesday audience. Greetings, Brother Ra.
Greetings, sister. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. And I'm truly, thoroughly enjoying your topic today, because it's truly food for my soul.
all praises. And, you know, I know we're mainly here to talk about your sojourn to Akibalon, but I just want to say that continue to do what you're doing. I hope that you continue to teach more science and teach the divine instructions. And most importantly, I hope that you continue to enlighten people about wellness. And before we get started to talk about Akibalon today, I want you to, if you were able to hear about the vaccines and the 11 reasons why flu shots are more dangerous than the flu, if you could just add on to that and give us some more wisdom, that would be great.
Well, there are several books and documents that's out there. There's a book that's called the Bible for Doctors, the New England Journal Book of Medicine. And that's their desk reference book for everything that they go to. So when you go to a doctor, basically they're using that reference book to treat your symptoms. And the medical profession will tell you exactly that. They're there to treat you, not cure you, not to heal you. So if you're going to these facilities to receive remedy or healing, that's not what they're there for. Now, in case that if you're in a car accident, trauma, they're very good. They're very good at setting bones for trauma patients to stitch you back up and put you back together for severe cuts or gunshot wounds. They're very good at that. But for as chronic disease and illness, I want to say the last article I read about 3 years ago, we ranked last in the entire world on infant mortality. And yet we have the most expensive Medicare program in the entire world. But yet we have the most obese and the sickest people on the planet. Now, we have been educated that third world countries, poor people, they live in disparity and, you know, and teach us how to be sympathetic for them. But yet, most third world countries do not have a medical doctor. They do not have clinics. They do not take vaccinations. None of the stuff that we say that we need in this country on a daily basis. But yet the third world countries have the longest living people than any industrial country on the planet. Now that says something. These people are intaking less than 1,500 calories a day. They have no fast food restaurant, but yet they're in better health. They live longer. Their women's are not going through the problems that a lot of our women suffer in our country, meaning that they're having menstrual cycles for 5 to 7 days, heavy bleeding, pains and cramps, things that we have considered normal now. I've known women who go to the doctor with a yeast infection, and doctors say it's normal. And yet these things are not normal. We have come so conditioned to live with certain ailments and diseases and viruses and sicknesses, like diabetes. I was in a group of people one day, and they was telling me about all the drugs they was taking. Like, they was proud of it. My doctor got me on this. My doctor got me on that. And yet,
wow.
You know, we have to self-educate ourselves. If you want to live long, healthy, long life on this planet, there are some things that you're going to have to do. You can't turn on the 6 o'clock news and certain programs and expect them to educate you. You've got to want to know more for yourself. If you want to survive and if you really care about yourself, your family, and the next generation. And nutrition has a lot to do with it. We got to get back to basics. We got to be able to go out and pick and touch the fruits and vegetables that we're eating. We have never went to a tree and picked an apple and ate it. I've been to people who have never picked a vegetable out of the ground and ate it. everything they have eaten over the years have come through what we call supermarkets. And you cannot trace where that food comes from sometimes. So we just got to get back, educate ourselves, and love ourselves enough to want to do more for ourselves and take in all the nutrients. You know, I deal with a lot of vegans and vegetarians, and which I say a lot of time they are starchitarian. We need 90 essential nutrients to maintain good and great health, and we have to take these supplements on a daily basis. So along with eating organic food, fruits and vegetables, we have to learn how to prepare them and what is the content of vitamins, nutrients, and minerals in the food that we eat. So we'll know how much we're taking in and the quantity we're taking in so we can maintain great health. So that's just a short one.
Thank you, thank you. And before we begin, I would be remiss if I didn't briefly mention Dr. Sabi again. Rest in power, Dr. Sabi. I listened to a YouTube that his best friend did in reference to what really happened. It was an excellent interview. If you all have not heard it, please go to YouTube and listen to it. Dr. Sabi's best friend. And one of the things that stood out to me that his best friend said is that he noticed that there was water standing at the prison, okay? And he said the food was worse than slop, okay? And basically he was saying that he doesn't know. He took herbs in for Dr. Sabi, and he does not know if Dr. Sabi actually received those herbs. And it was stated that Dr. Sabi had pneumonia. Okay? Now, I know for a fact because I have been dealing lately with mold. Mold got all in my body and all in my chest. And I was, well, that's one of the reasons why I couldn't be on here last week. I just felt like my chest was closing up, but I knew what to do. Okay, I took me some activated black charcoal and some fenugreek, and all of that is still coming out of my chest. So I don't know if it was pneumonia or what, Brother Ra. And one of my best friends, she's my sorority sister, she said, Sister L, you should have gone to the hospital. Why didn't you go to the hospital? You know? And I said, Sister, I don't have to do that for this. Yes, I feel bad, but I am my own Rofa, which is doctor in Hebrew. I'm my own Rofa. So if you could speak briefly about the situation I just discussed with Dr. Sabi. I know you've probably seen him if he's come to Atlanta or studied some of his material. Just comment, and anything you would like to say about it would be appreciated.
Yes, a few years ago, my brother was in the studio radio station. We interviewed Dr. Sabi, and at that time he was 80-something. He was talking about his great health, and it was amazing because, I mean, Dr. Sabi, I want to say he stands about 6'3", 6'4", and he'd bend down, jump up, and he was kicking. Now, to a lot of people, that may not mean a lot. But I know people in their 40s and 50s could not do what Dr. Sabi was doing in the studio. And he didn't breathe hard at all. So it's a testament to, you know, his health, his products, and his mindset. And, you know, and I have to include the mind because you can do something. If you don't believe in it, you won't get the same result. You know, you really have to believe in what you're doing. And it's called a holistic approach. That's mind, body, spirit, inclusive of everything. And there where it is the center of your power lies. So a lot of time we're looking for all this energy outside of ourselves, but your greatest gift and greatest energy you have is within yourself. And we need to go in that secret closet and look within, and there you'll find a wealth of knowledge and secrets. But most people are afraid of one thing, that's the dark. But Sabi, like I said, you know, just he put a lot of great information out. I was in the studio. He was on his way then to Africa, and we was discussing what he had brought to Africa, because one country he went to, he got with the administrators, the ministers of health, and they brought in all these European medical doctors, and everybody was trying to deal with the issues that was going on in that country. And literally they paid them millions of dollars for them to come just for a lecture. And yet they didn't want to pay him for the information that he had, which the medical community was given zero results. And he's saying, look at all the results that I have. So eventually he said they ran him out of the country.
Oh, my gosh, so, no.
Yeah, they ran him away. So he was going back to a different country because they were sticking to his ideals and concept of remedy. So like I said, he to me, still is a great man. He also stood up for what he believed in. Most people are aware of Sabi went into the, I think it was the Supreme Court of California, and won a landmark case dealing with AIDS.
Yes.
He didn't go in with no attorneys, and he went in there with all this stuff and actually won the case. And which is a shock to a lot of people, because they still say there's no cure for AIDS. But Dr. Sabi presented his evidence and won the case. So those who are not familiar with Dr. Sabi, I think this is a good opportunity to go back and review his information and see it for the first time if you haven't.
Yes, I agree with you. One of the things that I was in my further research of Dr. Sabi is that his life changed in 1959. This man was young at this time. He was impotent. He had a lot of health issues. He was a meat eater, and, you know, he wasn't into the herbs and all of that. And he met a man, and he said this man changed his life. And it was said that this man was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And Elijah Muhammad told him to stop eating the flesh and gave him some other information. And from that encounter with Elijah Muhammad, also that propelled Dr. Sabi to do more. And he took it to a whole different level. Dr. Sabi was vegan. Dr. Sabi knew the herbs, you know. And now, you know, Brother Ra, a lot of people are just now finding out about Dr. Sabi, and a lot of people are really, really inquiring, which is good. But if you really want to honor Dr. Sabi, if you really want to do that, you will do some of the things that he said to. He didn't clog his body up with poison. He did not do that. That's why he was able to have a child in his elder years. I met
when we was in the studio, he just had that baby. I think the baby was like 6 to 8 months old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. And see, that's awesome because, you know, I talk to a lot of people. They'll call me, you know, about different wellness issues. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a licensed professional. But I've actually had men to call and say, listen, I am suffering with impotence. And I say, well, how old are you? I'm 30. I'm 28. I'm 40. This is something that we did not have. We didn't have these problems before. The food, well, it's not food. The garbage that you're eating is bad. It's trash. And I tell them, okay, if you're going to eat meat, at least eat kosher. At least eat halal. At least, you know, and don't eat it every day. You know, because it takes longer to digest the meat. I remember when I was eating meat, Brother Ra, especially beef, because that was my favorite, it would take days. You know, sometimes it would cause constipation. So we have to be mindful of what we do and how we do it.
And one thing that may help people speed up the process, a lot of times we get in a habit, we eat food for taste. We need to reprogram ourselves and learn how to eat food for nutrition. And if you look at the nutritional content, a lot of things that we eat, we won't eat anymore.
I like the way you put that. That's awesome. Well, you know, it's a daily thought process, you know, because you do have to plan what you eat and how you eat. We have a comment or a question. Would you like to go ahead and take that before we segue into our discussion of Akiba Line?
I'll be honored.
Okay. I think this is Sister Queen. Peace and love, Goddess.
Peace and love. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Yes, to both of you. I tuned in a little late, so I didn't get the name of your guest, Dr. Ra, you said?
Brother Ra L, and I call him Dr. L.
Oh, okay. Brother Ra L.
He's one of the doctors.
And I had,
he's one of the doctors we go to here in Atlanta. He's one of the doctors that I would call first.
Okay. And you said the Hebrew word for doctor. Did you say Rophi, R-O-P-H-I?
Rofa, R-O-F-A.
Rofa, R-O-F-A, okay.
Yes, for woman or feminine, and then Rofe if it's for a male.
Okay.
A brother.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to look up Brother Ra'el. Do you have, or have you already given, if so, I can go back on the show, your way to look at what you have out?
At this particular point, I'm working on two books, so I don't have any published material. I have
maybe Facebook or something. I'm driving, so I didn't have a chance to look.
No, I don't even have a Facebook.
Okay. I'll find out some kind of way, but I'll close out. That's all I have, Sister L. I'm going to continue.
Brother Rob, would you mind if I forward a Sister Queen your email? Would that be okay?
That'd be fine.
Okay, Sister Queen, shortly I will forward you his email, okay?
Okay, thank you. Peace.
Great. And also
mm-hmm.
I'd like to interject the Latin or ancient word for doctor. Some would say the etymology of doctor. It means teacher.
Oh, wow. I never knew that. That's awesome. See, you know, when I was in school, they offered Latin, and in all my ignorance, I never took it. But their Chicago public schools offered Latin, and that's good to know because I know that our people spoke Latin. So, teacher, that's awesome.
And also,
I love it.
When you look at English throughout the world, most people think English is a language. English is actually a dialect.
Yes.
English is a compilation of many different languages. And those who separate themselves from mainstream society, I mean, we have from mainstream society, we in the mainstream society speak what is called colloquial. But those who separate themselves or have higher understanding, they speak a form of Latin. And look in all your medical books. For an example, you may look up the word halitosis. That is the medical name for it, but we call it bad breath. So there's a Latin term usually for everything. When you look in your law dictionary, most of the words in law are Latin. So it is our ancient language being told over and over again, read in front of us. The newest form of Latin is called Spanish. Before then, it was called Moorish Latin. So it's, they dropped the Moor off of it, but they kept the Latin part. And but it's you. And once you start to read in it, it will come to you very easily. But how do you deceive a people? You deceive them by saying, it exists, but it's very difficult to learn. So when you tell someone something is difficult, they don't even try.
That's true. That's true. And I'm glad you clarified that about the English, because it really was only supposed to be used for trade. That's what it is. It's a vehicle for you to do trade. That's why it is imperative. It is imperative that you learn Latin, Spanish, French, and other dialect, other languages, so that you can get back to your mother tongue, Hebrew, Arabic. I'm learning, I'm enhancing my Spanish. There's a free app that you can put on your phone called Duolingo, Duolingo. And with Duolingo, you can choose, I think it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 30 minutes per day, and it will enhance and help you to learn your language that you choose to learn, okay? So I'm really picking up my pace in Espanol. And I encourage you to do the same. Yeah, so what I want to do right now, because we're going to go ahead and we're going to segue into our information about your sojourn to Akibalon. So what I want to do now is take a 3-minute break, and then we'll come back. Okay, family? Peace.
I used to let the mic smoke. Now I slam it when I'm gonna make sure it's broke. When I'm gone, no one gets on, cause I won't let nobody press up and mess up the scene I set. I like to stand in a crowd and watch the people wonder, damn. But think about it, then you understand. I'm just an addict, addicted to music. Maybe it's a habit, I gotta use it. Even if it's jazz or the quiet storm, I hook a beat up, convert it into hip-hop form. Write a rhyme and graffiti in every show you see me in. Deep concentration, cause I'm no comedian. Jokers are wild, if you wanna be tame, I treat you like a child and you're gonna be named. Another enemy, not even a frenemy, cause you'll get fried in the end when you pretend to be competing. Cause I just put your mind on pause and I complete when you compare my rhyme with yours. I wake you up and as I stare in your face, you seem stunned. Remember me, the one you got your idea from. But soon you start to suffer, the tune will get rougher when you start to stutter. That's when you had enough of fighting, it'll make you choke. You can't provoke, you can't cope. You should have broke because I ain't no joke. As serious as cancer, who can keep the average dancer hyper as a heart attack? Nobody smiling, cause you're expressing the rhyme that I'm styling. This is what we all sit down to write. You can't make it, so you take it home, break it and bite. Two pieces and bits of all my hip-hop hits. Get the style down, packed in, it's time to switch. Put my tape on pause and add some more to yours. Then you figured you're ready for the neighborhood chores. The E-M-C-E-E, don't even try to be. When you come up to speak, don't even lie to me. You like to exaggerate, dream and imagine it. Then change the rhyme around, that could aggravate me. So when you see me come up free, or you'll be one of those 7 MCs. They think that I'm a new jack, but only if they knew that. They who think wrong, or they who can't do that style that I'm doing, they might ruin patterns of paragraphs based on you. And your offbeat DJ, if anything he play sound familiar, I'll wait to East Day play him. So I'ma have to diss who broke. You can get a smack for this, I ain't no joke. the microphone like a grudge. Be a whole of record so the needle don't budge. I hold a conversation, cause what I invent, I nominated my DJ the president. When I'm CI, I'll keep a freestyle going steadily. So pucker up and whistle my melody. But whatever you do, don't miss one. There'll be another rough rhyme after this one. Before you know it, you're following it, fiending, waiting for the punchline to get the meaning. Like before, the mural of my story I'm telling. Nobody beats the art, so stop yelling. Save it, put it in your pocket for later. Cause I'm moving the crowd and be a record fader. No interruption till the mic is broke. When I'm gone, then you can joke. Cause everything is real on a serious tip. Keep playing, and I get furious quick. And I take you for a walk through hell. Freeze your dome, then watch your eyeballs swell. Guide you out of triple state darkness. When it gets dark again, then I'ma spark this microphone. Cause the heat is on. You see smoke in the finish when the beat is gone. I'm no joke, no joke.
Peace and love, family. We are forward. I apologize for the delay. Of course, we are in retrograde, and I was kicked out of the studio and the internet. But because I have backups and a hotspot and all that good stuff, I was able to get back on. So just want to say we need to be mindful that there's nothing new under the sun. And one of the things before I bring Brother Ra on, I want to talk about briefly is Matthew, Matthew 37, okay? And I was just navigating around Atlanta, and I saw that they are continuously building. They had all of these events that I mentioned earlier, you know, Pride and other events going on, Dragon Con and everything like that. And I said, you know what? I remember reading a scripture, and I found that scripture is Matthew 24:37, and it says, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man." So family, right now, we are in the days of Noah. You know why? They're building. They're moving into these marriages. And we all know that the big thing was this equality, you know, in this presidential administration. So nothing has changed since the day of Noah. If anything, it has gotten worse. So let's be mindful. But I want to bring Brother Ra'el, Dr. L, on because he sojourned recently to Akibalon, and I want him to spend some time and share with us what happened, his thoughts, so that we will have some wisdom before we take that sojourn. So let me open up his mic. Are you there, Brother Ra?
Greetings, Sister L. Yes, I am.
Thank you. Thank you for your patience.
And, you know, I wanted to say something, too, so your audience mm-hmm. don't get confused. And
okay.
I'd like to make a disclaimer that I am not a medical doctor nor a naturopathic doctor. So there won't be any confusion. And like I said, you know, when you look up the root of word of doctor, it means teacher. And so, you know, we have to acknowledge certain things where people are not confused on information. But I will say I would love to come back on your show one day where we can go into details about health and nutrition, those who want to lose weight healthy and don't worry about it coming back, having the proper information, knowing how to deal with weight loss and nutrition as a whole, because the body only is going to utilize what it needs. And a lot of time we're not getting the proper nutrients in the proper ratio. And we can discuss the proper ratio where the body can assimilate and use it, because if we give the body what it needs, the body has the intelligence to heal itself, but too often we're not giving the body what it needs in a proper ratio.
Yes, that's true, and definitely I look forward to you coming back and breaking it down, because our health is our wealth, so thank you. So tell us about that awesome sojourn.
It was interesting. If I can just give kind of my personal experience, I will say if you're planning on booking a trip international, one thing to consider is to consider staying with the same airline. In other words, if you're flying to an international port, Miami, New York, New Jersey, in order to leave the country, or even California, try to stay on the same airline, because if you book your flight on a different international airline than your domestic flight, if your domestic flight is delayed, your international flight will take off without you, and most airlines will try to get you to pay for missing that flight. But if with the same airline, they will compensate you for the delay. And I ran into that several times. At the time, Delta Airline had computer problems. They was rebooking everybody on different airlines, and it caused a great deal of confusion where people was delayed for 2 to 3 days from getting to their destination. But getting on the continent, was interesting, because I had been there before. When you come through customs, before you even get to customs, actually, you're going in line, you're ready to go through customs. They ask you for your papers, and they asked me for my immunization shots. And I said, look, I don't take those shots. And they took my passport. And I said, give me my passport back. And they ran in this room and gave it to this person in the room and wouldn't give it back to me. And so they was forcing people to take this shot in order to go through customs. So it was amazing what happened. I'm there, give me the American consulate, give me the embassy, let me talk to someone in the UN. I'm going through the whole gamut. And there's a French-speaking country where I went to in Africa called Cote d'Ivoire. Then they pretend they couldn't speak no English. So it got really interesting. So long story short, I was there for about 2.5, almost 3 hours. And one of the medical assistants came out, and we started talking. And I asked him, was he a doctor? He said, yes. I said, why do you not have MD on your – I said, where did you go to medical school? And I said, well, you're a medical assistant. You're not a doctor, are you? And I said, if you're not a doctor and there's not a doctor's certificate here, you don't have a right to give people shots. And he was totally unaware of this, because the UN Health Authority said, hey, we gave you a badge, now give all these people vaccination. So anyway, we went through a whole dialogue and trying to understand each other, what is going on, what's happening. And so when that process, we finally worked out some things, went up to immigration, and they asked for my visa. I said, with this country, I do not have to have a visa. I have a U.S. passport. And they said, no, you have to have a visa. I said, well, it's not listed on your website. So now I got to go to the police station, which is upstairs. And that's when I learned about corruption. The police will hold you there for saying, we have problems. Do you know anybody here? Can we talk to somebody? We have an issues in the country, and we want to know who you are. Well, they called my family that was there. They talked to them, and they said, well, we need you to come down here. I said, that's not what you said. He said, you need to talk to them to verify who I am. Well, they came down to the station. It took them about 2 hours to get there. They put me in one room and took the family in the other room, and they extorted money from them and said, well, he cannot leave here without you giving us something. So they had to give up a month's salary for me to leave the police station. Unbeknownst to me, I didn't know they had already gave them something. So he come outside now asking me for resources. So their communication, all this stuff going on, long story short, they extorted money out of both of us. And they said, oh, by the way, you still need a visa. Now you must go apply for a visa. We just letting you leave so you can go get you a visa. So,
oh, my goodness.
Yes. So it was a lot of that going on, and it was just not that particular country, but a lot of places. I've seen taxi cab drivers pulled over and hassle until they pay the cops, and they always stick their hands there. Don't put it in open show. Down here. And so one of my strategies was, I said, look, if you're going to get something from me, I need a receipt. If you can't furnish me a receipt, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. So you're going to run into those types of things, especially when you're starting to travel abroad. And a lot of us have romanticized and fantasized about Africa for a long time. Studying African culture and history and say, hey, I got to go to the motherland. Well, you might want to do some preparation, making sure certain countries that you go to, do they require vaccination? So you can have your paperwork, you can have your information and knowledge ahead of you. So when you run into these complications, you'll know what to do. Because even when I requested to speak to the someone at the American Embassy, they said, do you have the phone number? I said, no, you have the phone number. You're required to give it to me. And they said, well, how are you going to call? I'm international. Now my cell phone is not working. And they told me, you're not going to use our phone. So what I found was real beneficial, too. There are certain apps that you can download on your cell phone. And if other companies and people have the same app, you literally can talk international free of charge. So you may want to prepare your cell phone before you go to make sure whatever country you're going to, you have some form of communication and clearly where you're going. If you're going to a hotel or something, make sure that hotel have transportation to pick you up from the airport. Because if you don't understand the currency exchange, they will rip you off. Once you speak English the first time, they got you. And understand currencies. Understand if the currency is 2-1, 3-1, 10-1, and usually get their currency before you go. Now, in particular, Cote d'Ivoire, do not do business with the U.S. They had a problem with the French. They kicked the French out. You see very little. I mean, if you see a Caucasian in Abidjan, it's very rare. They just don't travel there. There's a big group of Albanians on certain business districts that's there. One of my first experiences when I got there is traffic jam, you know, because my whole idea of Africa, you know, I'm going in the bush, I'm going to see some giraffes, some lions and all this stuff. And when I got there, when I left the airport, I ran into a traffic jam. 285 don't have anything on their traffic. They travel like they're in Brazil. Anyone who ever been to Rio de Janeiro would understand what I'm talking about when I say public transportation. They literally will run you over. And accidents are prominent. Every day, somebody in an accident. They drive terrible. So expect that when you get in a taxi. They're going to cut people off a lot. We call it road rage. They call it normal. But other than that, when I actually got there, got settled in and everything, what I did notice, the freshness of the food. I ate a lot of papaya when I was there, a lot of bananas, a lot of different fruits and stuff. And it was just wonderful because it literally had a different taste to it. And it was just good. Matter of fact, one of my other experiences when the people found out, you know, I wanted fruits and vegetables, people, friends of theirs, would come to their house because they found that someone from the States was there, and they wanted to learn more English. So I was there with a group of educators, a group of school teachers. So they wanted to get a feel for the dialect, the language, the cultural, the history. And so they brought me a lot of fruits every day. One of the things I had was a green banana, actually just a little small banana. And I said, well, okay, I have to wait 3 or 4 days before the banana turned ripe. And I kept seeing them eat it. So I said, well, let me try one. I said, it's green. But actually, that banana was so sweet, and it tastes ripe. I was amazed. So that was a new experience for me. The other new experience for me, I was walking through the bush. I had a guide taking me through the bush. We was going to look for some African bats up in a tree. And we ran up on a cocoa tree. And I thought I knew something about the cocoa. You know, I knew the Mayan looked at the cocoa was called the food of the gods, dark chocolate. And they went up and got one, busted open for me. And I was shocked because it's white on the inside. And it's very tasty. It reminded me of Scovendine, the flavor. So I was eating the cocoa, but you don't bite the seed. The seed is what's on the inside. It's where they dry out and actually get the cocoa from. So it was just a wonderful experience. I met a lot of great people, went a lot of different places. And Cote d'Ivoire also, they have a mixture of the Catholic Church and Islam. And there's a lot of Islamic people in Cote d'Ivoire. Another name they call it Ivory Coast. And so while we was there, you know, I was struck by what had happened to me coming through immigration. So one of the first thing I did when I got there, I got access to internet, and I downloaded their constitution, and I started reading their constitution. So when I had a meeting with the educators, one of the first thing I asked them, because they was complaining about the corruption and how we got it so good in the United States. You know, you can't do that stuff over here. And I said, no. I said, you must understand, the people in my country who fought for the right to do things, afraid to go to jail. You're afraid to stand up for something that you believe in because you want to play it safe. I said, if there's something that is wrong, you must first find out, is it lawful? Is what they're doing is lawful or not? So I gave them a scenario, and I said, is that lawful or unlawful? They said, well, it's unlawful. I said, well, prove it. They couldn't prove it. So I showed them in their constitution, Article 20, dealing with traffic violations, that the police had no right to even detain you unless you had been criminally prosecuted and accused. And they was like, wow. I was like, no, I just got here, but this is your constitution. So, you know, people have to come familiar with what law is and what standing do they have, especially in the world community when the world is looking at you. And this is one of the things that Malcolm did when all this abuse and atrocity that was going on to a certain group of people in this country, Malcolm said, well, I'm going to the UN because the world need to know that y'all are abusing y'all own people and creating genocide. And yet, to the world, you're trying to criticize them and invade their country for doing the same thing which you're doing at home. So it brought international attention, and a lot of stuff started changing. Till you actually know better or know law and exercise it. You know, people have made a statement for years says knowledge is power. Well, to me, that's not necessarily correct. Knowledge is not power. Applied knowledge is power. You can have something. But if you do not apply it, it can become a burden because you know better, but you refuse to do better. No one is going to give you something at your expense. You must take a stand and say, enough is enough. And when you take that position, then other people and other nations will respect you for taking a stand and stop being bullied. And so at some point, everybody, you got to take a stand. So the experience was really great. We got a chance to really discuss some good ideas, concepts, and business opportunities, you know, because one of the things they was really stressing that people from the state come over there and establish business and do business to help them, and but they couldn't explain how. They had no social programs. They had no business plans. They had no corporation set up for us to do commerce with them, but yet they want resources. I said, well, you have to set up something, some type of vehicle where we can offer goods and services to each other, where we can support each other. And some things will be donations. But you have to have some type of facility or corporation where we can do business together for as commerce concerned. So overall, it was just a great experience. It was always an issue going through custom because you was constantly racially profiled. Constantly, your bags are being searched, and Caucasian walked right through the line with no problem at all. And so, you know, just some of the things you may just want to kind of consider.
That's critical. Well, thank you. I want to thank you for sharing that. We only have 8 minutes left on the stream. I think it's very important and imperative that we do our research before making that sojourn. I'm glad you had a chance to do it. I look forward to seeing your pictures and hearing more about this. And I definitely want to have you come back very, very soon. And our main focus, Brother Rod, I really want us to deal with the wellness within the next 2 to 3 weeks, you know, contingent upon your schedule, you know.
Okay, that'll be great.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, when I traveled over to Israel, they profiled me, and they took me in this room. And they wanted to know where I was going, why I decided to come, and who I would be staying with, and what I was going to be doing there. And I answered the questions because I really wanted to go. But, you know, and I didn't know any of what I know now, but it's just the way you're treated and the way you're profiled all over the world. That's why, like you said, applied knowledge is power. And you were able to navigate and assess things because you have a different mindset. And I hope that we can continue to travel internationally and have these types of experiences. I want to ask that you take 60 seconds to close out, and then I'm going to make an announcement, a few announcements, and close out for today.
Well, first of all, it's truly indeed an honor and a pleasure to greet you and your audience today. I'm always grateful and I'm always honored. And if anything, I would like to say, too, in closing, let us be mindful of a great deception that has taken place, and that is how to separate the family. They have done it through television shows, mass media, the public educational system, from grade school up to now. And how we know the results of it, because men have a very difficult time having a relationship with women, and women have a difficult time having a relationship with men. We got to break down that barrier. We got to find honest ways of communicating with each other. And the reason I stress that, because you cannot raise a family unless you are of one mind. You cannot raise a community unless you are of one mind, let alone to wake up a nation. It starts at home. And each and every one of us have to look within ourselves to want to make ourselves better so we can raise a nation. With that, I honorably thank you. I'm grateful for you, and I wish all well, health, and live well.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for coming on Prosperity Wednesday. Family, I just want you all to remember that we are in Mercury retrograde. I want you to remember to think about your cleanse and how you're going to cleanse during the season, and recognize this atonement season that we're moving into. It's a season of atonement and repentance. Also, for those of you all that are interested, we do have a no-cost business. If you have a Facebook account, you can actually come aboard and start earning money. We do have a few qualifications, and I actually had a sister that came aboard a little over a week ago, and she's received her first deposit. So, you know, if you want to do something from home, and if you're already on Facebook, okay, and you're not making $1 from being on Facebook, put it to good use, because as Prophet Noble Drew Ali said, it takes finances to raise the nation. So with that being said, Brother Rod, you enjoy your week. Family, enjoy your week and enjoy your retrograde. Peace, love, and light.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.